Yes, the Killers tonight at Lollapalooza. I'm really digging their new track, The Man. That's a good song, man. And I know that it's a little bit, it sounds a little bit like it might be like a parody of Donald Trump. Like it's kind of got a thing to it. Like, you know, it almost feels like they're kind of making fun of the idea of like someone who would call themselves The Man. But I'm not going to lie to you. I had it in the headphones today, a little strut. Like I felt like, you know, I was listening to it. I'm like, yeah, it's a kind of song, the new Killer song that makes you think it's a montage to an 80s basketball movie or like are fixing up the house kind of thing. Well, we haven't checked in with Tracy Swartz in a couple of weeks due to just pretty much on my end. But Tracy is the columnist for Inc., the Inc. columnist at the Chicago Tribune. She joins us every Friday for Reality Check, where we sort of get an update on Chicago and what Chicago's doing with reality television. She's got a great assignment this week, which, of course, is covering Lollapalooza, and she's out there with her Tribune colleagues covering the festival right now in Grant Park. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry if it's hard to hear me. Run the Jewels is on right now at the stage I'm near.
Nice. Well, hey, that's good. That's good radio. Feels good. All right, so talk about the experience. First, let's talk about last night. You were part of a team that covered Lollapalooza, loved the stuff that was in the Tribune. Also, you were there for the evacuation. Did everything go smoothly? Was it a surreal experience as it's sort of been talked about in the news, or was it orderly and that's just what happens when there's a rainstorm at Lollapalooza?
This is not the first evacuation I have covered at Lolla. I think this is my sixth or seventh Lolla I've covered in the last 10 years. And I don't know if anything really goes quite smoothly with this festival. Basically, what happened is it had rained earlier in the afternoon, and then it ended up raining pretty hard around 9:10 when the headliners were on or going on. And basically, it just became a bit of a free-for-all. People were taking over Michigan Avenue, running up and down the streets. Awnings of buildings became like shelters. I ended up getting at the bus shelter at Michigan and Balbo to sort of just escape the rain and do some reporting. But yeah, it was, you know, people didn't want to go either.
Right.
At Lolla, they introduced a skating rink, a roller skating rink, an arcade center. So the best thing about that was actually it was covered. So a lot of people used that for shelter until they wanted to kick everybody out, and some people wouldn't go. And it was kind of like mass chaos. It's rain, so it's already chaotic, and then it's the end of the night, probably when you have the most people because the headliners are on, and it was just everyone was kind of going every which way.
So the big question today, I mean, obviously the weather much cooler, and there's no rain, some sprinkles that might come through, but how is the terrain? Is Grant Park beat up from the rain and the weather and the inclement weather that came through yesterday?
No, I don't think it was too bad because it was kind of like spurts of rain. So it wasn't like an all day rain. We got rain in the afternoon and rain at night. But I felt like too, I wasn't under the shelter for too long because it sort of cleared up and then everyone kind of went about their ways. So I think it could have been a lot worse. And from what I'm seeing on the grounds, it doesn't look too bad.
Okay, so this year's Lollapalooza, of course, off to a somewhat rocky start just in the fact of the weather. The festival is fine. What are some of the amenities that have changed this year? You've covered it for 6 years. You talked about skating rink and arcade center. What else is different about this year's Lollapalooza?
Well, for people who have gone multiple years, you'll notice something that is everyone uses as an amenity. It's the bathroom. This year they introduced toilets that flush, which may not seem like a big deal, but it's quite an upgrade from the last few years. Like I said, the arcade and roller rink, there's this new sort of what they're calling a visual experience at the Perry stage, which is where a lot of the young kids like to hang out. There are more video streams, and they're larger video streams, and it's quite the experience. When you're across the field and you see all the smoke and all this stuff coming out of the Perry stage. At first I was like, oh my goodness, that's lightning or something is on fire. But no, it's just the new visual experience there. There's also larger video screens at their two main stages, which is the Bud Light and the Grant Park stages. They said that they upgraded the sound system, so it's more of a consistent sound, although I'm kind of hearing, you know, some people are saying that maybe that they didn't appreciate that change. Hmm. So,
also, I mean, the clientele, a lot of young kids out there. I mean, you've heard the grousing from a lot of the loop workers and older people are like, these kids walking around. I mean, how is the crowd? I mean, I try to say this sensitively, but I mean, does it seem that they're courteous and sober?
I think that the crowd is kind of the same as it is every year. Since I cover the Lala logistics, I can tell you that there were fewer people taken to area hospitals this year as far as Thursday goes compared to last Thursday. So Thursday last year.
Yeah, right.
So yesterday there was 72 people taken to local hospitals. And at that day last year, so that Thursday of 2016, there was 84. So there's fewer, but it was also a shortened festival. So it seems pretty consistent as far as, like, problems. They definitely cited more people yesterday compared to last year for fence jumping, trying to get into the festival. But, yeah, it seems like things are pretty on par with last year.
Okay. Tracy Swartz at Lollapalooza, covering it for the Tribune. Of course, she's an ink columnist there. You know, Lollapalooza attracts so many celebrities and prominent people, not just here in Chicago, but around the country, and a lot of musicians as well. Are there any, I mean, it's only Friday, but has there any been buzz? I mean, I think, was it last year? It was one of the Obama girls that went. Is there any buzz to celebrities that have walked through the gates at Lollapalooza?
Well, as I was sitting here waiting for your phone call, Vic Mensa just walked by me. He is doing a surprise show today at Lollapalooza that wasn't originally on the schedule. And last year we did have Malia Obama. I have not spotted any Obamas this year. But with Chance the Rapper's set coming up Saturday night, you can expect a lot of people, a lot of celebrities to come in for that.
Yeah,
I mean, even Rahm Emanuel got in on it yesterday. He wasn't at Grant Park, but he was at the Ryan Adams after show at the Vic Theater last night.
I mean, that's another thing we've been talking about with just Lollapalooza. I mean, it's amazing that this almost becomes the music industry's convention. You know, the yearly convention, the way that Chicago just has taken over with after parties and tremendous performances and so many different musicians on stage. It's quite, I mean, it happens every year, but Pete and I were just anecdotally talking about it. It seems like this year it's much more robust.
Well, I mean, it's also 4 days again this year. That was a format that they introduced last year for their 25th anniversary, and it worked so well. I mean, they can sell out every day without even putting up who is playing. So that, you know, with an extra day, that gives you more opportunities for more bands and then, you know, more sightseeing.
Yeah. Lollapalooza, the big events tonight, the Killers. I mean, is that where everyone seems to want to get lined up as we get close to the headliners tonight?
I think for the people of the Xennial generation, that sort of micro generation between millennials and Generation X, I think it's kind of a tough call between Blink 182 and the Killers tonight.
Yeah, our buddy Matt Skiba.
On at the same time.
Yeah.
On at the same time, different ends of the park.
And that's always the concern with any festival, especially these big ones, that you have to choose between. Those seem to be bands that are pretty similar in the way that you have Blink 182 and The Killers. Tomorrow night, of course, though, I feel bad for whoever's against Chance the Rapper, but Chance is the headliner on Saturday, and it seems like that's all Chicago's talking about.
I mean, I can't even imagine who he's going to bring out on stage. Just the people, probably hours it'll be lining up to come see him. So I think that is definitely going to be the one to watch. And he is hosting an after party tomorrow night at Studio Paris. So your beloved, like, Hubbard Street area is probably going to be packed with people too.
Yeah, it's very beloved. It's a beloved, I call it Clubbard Street. Yeah. So I'll see if they have my table over there at Studio Paris. You know, I like to go in there and they just have an honorary table for me. So I have to see.
Well, I hope they didn't bump you for Chance. I know, yeah. It's probably.
I don't want to go anyway, Tracy. I got things to do. I don't really want to go to that that party.
Didn't you get a gift certificate when we interviewed the Melmans? They, you know, we gave, so see if you can use that. Like, I got that gift certificate you gave me for that interview. Can I get this for the?
I think I lost it if they gave it to me. Darn it. We had RJ and Jared in here. They said come by at any time. this would be the time. No. All right. So, Tracy, you know, we're talking Lollapalooza because you're covering it, and thanks for all the info. But obviously, you come on every Friday to talk about reality TV in Chicago. I don't know if you saw it on the interwebs, but I had a chance to talk with Van Johnson, one of the stars of Black Ink Crew Chicago. We're buddies now. That's a good show, and they're only in season. They're only in episode 3 or 4, and the way Van teased it out, there's going to be a lot more fighting.
Well, I think even more than just the drama between the cast members, and I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago when the new season premiered, it is what I have to think is the longest-running Chicago reality series.
Yeah, third season.
Yeah, I mean, which is crazy because a lot of these reality shows kind of come in and just drop in, like parachute in, do a season, and then they move on to another city. But I think what makes Black Ink Crew Chicago continue to be successful is the fact that it shows Chicago, like, realistically. Some of these shows, it's like set in Chicago, but you wouldn't know it. I mean, sure, they show, like, you know, pictures of downtown, of the Loop, whatever. But this show shows, like, people protesting Trump after he was elected. I think it gives more of, like, a realistic side of Chicago that you wouldn't get in another reality show.
Well, hence, yeah. Wow, what a concept, a reality show that is more realistic. Let's talk Spouse House before I let you go. This is the show that we've been following. It's in the middle of its season now or getting close to the end. Where are we at with Spouse House?
Spouse House is still going. They had a wedding last week. We remember when this show came out, the format was very confusing. And I found out it isn't necessarily you get to the end of the week and nobody proposes. And therefore you get kicked off. They kind of vote on who should get kicked off. So it's a lot of interchanging parts. It's something that maybe is not as much on my radar. I've kind of fallen off a little bit on it.
Uh-oh.
But I wanted to talk about End of Married at First Sight.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's do that. So Spouse House, you know, Spouse House is losing steam, but Married at First Sight picking up.
Okay, here we go. So the finale of Married at First Sight aired on Thursday. Now, this was the reunion episode. Last week was the season finale where, after 8 weeks, each of these couples who were strangers when they met at the altar at the Palmer House Hilton. So you basically have to say at the end of the 8 weeks, are you going to stay married or are you going to get divorced? And surprisingly, all three couples decided to stay married.
Hey.
Never in franchise history have all three couples of a season decided to stay married.
Love wins.
Love wins or desperation or whatever.
So they're doing the so then they do a reunion show after the finale and does that sort of like catch us up to the cast members of where they're at now?
Yes. So then they did the reunion show this week and they were still all three had stayed married. Wow. Even the couple that had not yet consummated their relationship. They were still married. So we'll just have to keep an eye out because this show is notorious for people saying, yes, I'll stay married at the end of 8 weeks and then not staying married for much longer.
And I mean, how often does that kind of thing happen where there's the reality show reality and then the real life reality where they don't sync up. They're not being real. They're not being truthful in the fact that they are not really staying together.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen any divorce papers filed. You know, you've got to kind of do that. That's how you sort of figure out what is the reality. The reality is if there's paperwork, if they're living separately, and the cameras have now left. So the only way we'll find it out is if they announce it or if, you know, we come across that paperwork.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Married at First Sight wraps up. Spouse House still going but losing steam. Lollapalooza, hey, it's on. Tracy Swartz covering Lollapalooza this week for the Tribune. She, of course, ink columnist there, and she comes on Fridays to do Reality Check with us. Tracy, thanks so much for taking some time, and I know you're busy. Go get in line for the killers.
Thanks for having me.